the resurrection from the dead of our Lord Jesus Christ is a truth that stands prominent and paramount in the entire Bible. For instance, it's prophesied way back in the Old Testament, one of the Psalms, Psalm 16, quoted by the Apostle Paul when he was preaching. This is what it says: "Thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, neither shalt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." And Paul quoted that when he was preaching, and so did Peter, and that was indicating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus was not only prophesied, but it was promised. Several times in his earthly ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ told the disciples, he says, "I'm going to be taken from you, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to be put to death, but I will rise again. The third day, I will rise again." He promised that. And then again, as we saw this morning, it was performed. Those three ladies went to the tomb thinking the corpse of the Lord Jesus was going to be there. They were going to anoint his body. They were going to perform a lovely devotional act. But when they got there, they found that he was not there. Instead, there was an angel, a young man, who said, "He is not here. He is risen. He's away to Galilee," or, "He wants you to meet him there in Galilee, as he told you earlier." So it was prophesied, it was promised, it was performed. And whenever you come into the latter chapters of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and throughout the book of Acts, you'll see that time and time again, it was preached. Those ladies preached it. They brought the message to the disciples that he is risen. And then whenever Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, he included the resurrection of Christ. And wherever the disciples went, the Bible tells us they preached the resurrection. In fact, whenever they had a tremendous prayer meeting in Acts chapter 4, we learn that the place was shaken, and with great power gave the apostles witness to the resurrection, the rising again from the dead. And here in this chapter that I've asked you to turn to, there's one verse in which the resurrection is brought before us. I want to read it to you. Acts chapter 17 and verse, actually there are two verses. Verse 30, "On the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." The background of that is interesting. Paul had been preaching in the marketplace there in Athens. He was waiting for his colleagues to come. His heart was stirred up when he saw the idolatry of the city. And then he began to preach. Notice verse 18. "Certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, 'What will this babbler say?' Others some, 'He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods.'" Here's the reason they said that: because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And now, Paul is saying, God is going to judge the world because he has given a witness of that through Jesus and the resurrection. Now let me say very briefly three things about this great event. And it is a marvelous event, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. First of all, the miracle of it. The fact that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead was a miracle. Now, there are other false cults and modernistic teachers that teach that the body of Jesus Christ evaporated and the gases went out through the chinks in the tomb. The lengths that some people would go to try to discredit the Bible or to deny its teaching. But the Bible tells us very plainly that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And this miracle can be seen by two considerations. First of all, the parties that were involved in it. There was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He was the one that was raised from the dead. But the Bible also tells us that Jesus raised himself from the dead. We're told in John chapter 2, early on in his ministry, he said to the crowd that were watching him, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll build it again." They thought he was talking about the temple, and they said, "This temple has taken 46 years to build, and you're going to erect it in 3 days." But the Bible says he spake of the temple of his body. He said later in John's Gospel, "No man taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again." In other words, I will raise myself. But there was another party. There was God the Father. And the Bible tells us in different times, and this is where it is emphasized the most, that he was raised from the dead by God. Oh, there are tremendous scriptural references to that tremendous truth. This Jesus, we read in Acts 2, verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up. But there was another party, and that was the Holy Spirit. We read in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, that Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit. So Father, Son, and Holy Ghost were all involved in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a miracle it was that the Trinity, the Godhead, were involved in the performance of it. But let me say something else to show the miraculous element to it. Not only the parties that were involved, but the power that was involved to raise something from death to life has got to be a mighty force. You think of creation, when God created the world out of nothing, that was mighty. And Father, Son, and Holy Ghost were involved in that. But now the dear Son of God, God manifest in the flesh, was put to death by evil men, although it was in the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. But now, this mighty power of the Trinity, of the Godhead, is being exerted. And at the appointed time, up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. Hallelujah! Christ arose. And tonight, my dear friend, the Lord is alive, and he's alive forevermore. And he's able to save to the uttermost all who will come unto God by him. Have you been thinking about this matter? You're dead in trespasses and in sins. Spiritually dead. Well, the Lord can do the same for you spiritually as he did for the Lord Jesus spiritually. And what he will do physically for every person who dies who's a Christian one day. That soul of yours that is dead in trespasses and in sins, he will give new life to. You'll trust Christ as your Savior tonight. Receive the gospel message. You'll experience this everlasting life, this great regeneration, passing from death to life. But in the second place, notice not only the miracle of this great event, but the meaning of it. What meaning had the resurrection of Christ? Well, first of all, God the Father accepted the work that his Son did when he died on the cross. That's what the resurrection is all about. That's what it means. One of the things, at any rate. Well, what work did Christ do? Well, he prepared a way back from our sin, along the dark paths of sin. He prepared a way for us to walk, to be reconciled to him. You see, there is estrangement on our part. We have offended God. God is grieved. He cannot look upon our sin. There's a breach between us and him. But through the death of the Lord Jesus on the cross, that gulf has been spanned. There's a bridge across from our side to God's side. And the Lord Jesus is that bridge. He is the way to the Father. And it was Calvary's cross where he did that. And when he rose again from the dead, God was showing that he was well pleased with the work of his Son. But the Lord did something else on the cross, another aspect of his work. He put away sins. The Bible says he's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. How would we have known that sin was taken away but only for the resurrection of Christ? He did something else. That is, he appeased the wrath of God. And ladies and gentlemen, do not believe these modernistic teachers that tell you that there's no such a thing as appeasing the wrath of God. God's not interested in this kind of atonement that puts away wrath. Oh, I've had it said to me. I was coming out of the school one time in Killikameen Assembly, and a Church of Ireland minister spoke to me, and he said, I asked the students, I wasn't able to get into the assembly, and I asked my students what you were preaching on at the assembly, that is the students in his class. He told me what they said, and he says, oh, he was preaching on the penal aspect of Christ's sufferings. I said to him, mentioning his name, I said, there is only the one view of the cross, and it is penal. It's not a view. It's scriptural truth that the Lord Jesus Christ paid the penalty of our sins and turned away the wrath of God from sinners. I want to say something else. The Bible tells us that whenever Christ rose from the dead, he was proving to all, the Spirit of God was proving to all, the Father was proving to all, that God was well pleased with the sacrificial work of his Son. This is what we read in Romans 1 verse 3. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. God was showing that his Son was everything that he claimed to be. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ claimed to be the Son of God. That was one of the reasons why the Jews crucified him. They would not accept he was the Son of God. And the Lord Jesus said in John 5, that all men should honor the Son as they honor the Father. The fact that God raised him from the dead after those wretched Jewish religious leaders crucified him, God was showing to the world, my Son is who he claimed to be, and he has paid the price of sin, and I am well satisfied with his work. He did something else. He conquered death. Death need hold no terror for anybody who's a Christian. Now the Bible tells us death is an enemy, and we're only human. Life is sweet. We want to live as long as we can. But come the time whenever we have to die, the Christian need not fear. Why? Because Christ is with him as he goes through the valley, and Christ has triumphed over death. That's the great truth. That's the meaning of the resurrection of Christ. Christ is superior to and supreme over all religious leaders. Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, their leaders are all dead, buried somewhere. But our head, our leader, is alive forevermore and will never die again. And the resurrection of Christ means these things. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to say to you tonight, and young people, you can confidently stake your whole life on him. Somebody once wrote, upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, upon another's death, another's life, I stake my whole eternity. And the moment you're all you venture on Christ's atoning blood, the Holy Spirit enters. You'll be born of God. Would you not come to him tonight? He's a risen Savior. He's alive. He's in this room. And he's able and willing to save you. Well, there's one last thing about this great event. The miracle of it. The meaning of it. And the message of it. What is the message? Well, the message is found in this verse. He hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance. And that's important. He hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. The message of this great event is that the fact, the reality of the resurrection of Christ is proof that there is a day of judgment. Notice first of all that this day of judgment is divinely appointed. God hath appointed a day. It's coming, getting nearer to it. This is the way the history of mankind is going. This is the destiny to which it's headed from the days of Adam, right up to the time that they stand before that great white throne, of which we read in Revelation chapter 20. The certainty of the day of judgment, divinely appointed and historically assured, in that he hath given assurance to all men, in that he hath raised Christ from the dead. See how the two are linked. The day of judgment to come will take place for certainty, because God has said it, and because Christ has been raised from the dead. He's the judge. He's the judge. Read Revelation chapter 20, and you'll find that John in his vision saw death and hell give up the dead, the sea giving up all its dead, and all stood before the Lord Jesus Christ seated on the white throne, the great white throne, before whose face heaven and earth fled away. And then the dead were judged. And those whose names were not written in the Lamb's book of life, and that means every person who's not a Christian, they were banished and cast into the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, to be tormented eternally and separated eternally from God and from all that's good and all that's Christian. That will be your expectation. Nothing, says the apostle, but a fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation if you die outside of Christ. So you have the certainty of the day of judgment, and it's proven by the resurrection of Christ. And there's the necessity to prepare for that day. How do I prepare for such a day? Ladies and gentlemen, it's simple. It's singular. There's only one way. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to pay for it. You don't earn it. You simply receive the gift that God is holding out to you. That gift is Christ. That gift is everlasting life. And you just turn from your sin. You just turn right round. That's what the Bible calls repentance. And say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I know that I'm lost. Lord, I know that you died on the cross to save me. You agonized to save me. You bled for me. And you have risen again from the dead to save me. And right now, where I sit, I open my heart to thee. I receive thee as my Savior. And I trust thee as my Savior and Lord. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The great event indicates this. And then someday, if you die before the Lord comes back, you will die before the Lord comes back. But he may come back before that. But if he doesn't come back before that, you die. Your soul will go immediately into heaven to enjoy conscious bliss and happiness and glory. Your body will rest in Mother Earth. And when the Lord Jesus comes back again, that body will come together. Only it'll be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Transformed. Body and soul united. A body that will never suffer pain or grow old again. And there in the glory, body and soul and spirit, with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. What a day Easter Day is. It brings before us the truth of the resurrection of Christ. The great event. Miraculous, of great meaning, and this message, there's a day of judgment, and you need to prepare for it by receiving the one who died on the cross and rose again as your personal Savior.